the conversion of Saul, who later became Paul. Paul was breathing out murderous threats against the disciples of the Lord Jesus. He asked the high priest to give him letters so that he could go to the synagogues in Damascus, and if he found any there who belonged to the Way, that is, who were Christians, whether they were men or women, that he might bring them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed all around him. He fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul inquired. The voice answered, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now get up, go into the city," that's Damascus, "and you will be told what you have got to do." So then when Jesus said, "Why are you persecuting me?" what he meant was, "Why are you persecuting my brothers and sisters?" So whatever anyone does to us, if we belong to Jesus, they do to him. So we are him to this world.
Like, if someone does something bad to you, well, like, hits you or scratch you.
That's what they're doing to Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's right. And that's why we've got to be really respectful to all people, and especially to remember that what we do to other people who believe in Jesus is what we do to Jesus. And especially when we're baptized, we become part of the body of Christ. We are him, and God looks at us as if we're his. Well, the men who were travelling with Saul stood there.
If Mom did tell us to smash something, and we did, and that would be when we're what we are doing to Jesus, too.
That's right. So you can't just hurt anyone and think that it doesn't matter.
Like if you say... like if you smash something, like, well,
like
if you smash something and then someone comes in and says, "Oh, like that's a wedding present," and then.
Well, yeah, this is talking about people. That what you do to people, you do to Jesus.
Yeah, and then.
Okay, so the men traveling with Saul stood there saying nothing. They heard a sound but didn't see anyone. Saul got up from the ground. But when he opened his eyes, he couldn't see anything. He was blind. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. And for 3 days he was there blind and didn't eat or drink anything. Now, in Damascus was a disciple of Jesus called Ananias. And the Lord called to Ananias in a vision. "Ananias?" "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord Jesus told him, "Go to the street that is called Straight." It must have been a very straight street. "And go to the house of Judas in that street and ask for a man from Tarsus called Saul, because he's praying. And he's seen a vision of a man called Ananias coming to him, placing his hands on him and restoring his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I've heard many reports about this man and all the wicked things he's done to your believers in Jerusalem. And he's come here to Damascus with authority from the priests to arrest all who call on your name." It's a bit funny that Ananias thought that, I know more than Jesus knows. Let me just tell you, Jesus, in case you don't know, that no, you might have got it wrong. And that's what we tend to think, that Jesus and God somehow don't know what's going on and we know better because we're here on earth. But actually, through the Holy Spirit, they know all things. So the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument in order to carry my name before the Gentiles," that's people who aren't Jews, "kings and the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he is to suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went to the house and entered it. He put his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, who appeared to you in the way as you were coming here, has sent me so that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, scales, as it were, fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after receiving food, he got his strength back. So as soon as people believed, they were baptized straight away. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. Immediately he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were amazed and asked, "Isn't this the man who did awful things in Jerusalem to those who call on this name? And has he not come here to Damascus to take Christians as prisoners to the chief priests in Jerusalem?" But Saul grew more and more powerful and confounded the Jews who were living in Damascus, proving that Jesus really was the Christ, that is, the Messiah, the Anointed One. After some days, the Jews made a plot to kill him, but Saul knew of their plan. Day and night, they watched the city gates in order to kill him. But the disciples took Saul by night and lowered him down the wall in a basket. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples of Jesus, but they were all frightened of him and didn't believe that he was really a disciple. They thought he was just pretending so that he could turn around and kill them. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and told them how Saul had met the Lord Jesus on his journey, and that the Lord Jesus had spoken to him, and how in Damascus Saul had preached very boldly in the name of Jesus. What a lovely man Barnabas was. When somebody's outside the group, outside the circle of friends, it takes a very special person to bring that person in. And that's what Barnabas did, and that's what we should try to be like. So Saul stayed with them and went in and out freely in Jerusalem and boldly preached in the name of the Lord Jesus. He debated with the Greek Jews, but they tried to kill him. And when the brothers knew about this, they took Saul down to Caesarea and sent him to Tarsus. Now Tarsus was where he was from. Then the church had rest and peace throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria. The church was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, grew in numbers, and the people lived fearing the Lord.